At Best Western, we can't promise you the perfect family beach vacation. We can't promise that it won't rain, or that you won't get a sunburn, or that your family won't endearingly call you Lobster Mom for weeks afterward. What we can promise is a warm welcome and a comfortable room amidst all the joyful chaos. Lobster Mom. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western, with over 4,200 hotels worldwide.
You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
Merry Christmas and welcome to The Kylo Show.
Ho, ho, ho.
It is that time of year. I can't believe we're already at Christmas.
That's pretty cool.
I feel like it's frigid. That and it came really quick this year. I feel like it was just October and my anniversary, and now here we are.
Here we are. It's more motoring along. I spent this last weekend just outside. It's chilly.
Yes,
it's chilly.
The frost that covers the grass every morning. That's probably my favorite. It's the closest thing to snow that we have.
Yeah.
But
this is a California winter.
another
harsh California winter.
It almost got to 32, but then heated up into 45, so yeah. We were good.
Yeah.
Or 50.
Ooh.
But yes, so Merry Christmas to all the families out there. Thanks for listening. I don't know when you're listening. It might be while you're preparing pies or something for Christmas.
Well, you got lots of time this week to listen.
It's true.
Yeah.
Just hanging out, chill. I think that I was thinking about my favorite Christmas that we've ever had recently in the last couple of years. And I think that giving mom her kitten is still my favorite.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I loved Disney. That was super fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved when you guys surprised Ben and we went to Australia. Those are all really big, really super fun ones. But I think mom was so completely shocked. That's why she never, ever saw it coming. Especially because you're just teasing so bad that it was never going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. It made it even better.
Yeah. It did feel like one of those nevers, you know, like mm-hmm. I'm never getting a cat. We haven't had a cat since you guys were little.
Yeah, since Snowball scarred us.
Mm.
She was the best cat and the worst cat. We won't talk about it, but yeah.
Yeah.
So I do think that was probably one of my favorites. And it was just comical watching her get this cat. This is mine. You know, she was like a little kid. That's probably what
I
was
know.
So fun.
And then it was kind of a psycho kitty for a while.
She was just afraid of everything.
Yeah.
But she's not so afraid anymore. That's good.
It's a little better now. Definitely a great hunting cat, though. That cat will.
She's holding her own on the farm.
Slayer. She's a She's a definitely
cold hard killer.
Farm slaying cat.
Yeah. Yeah. She definitely. She just brings pieces.
Mm-hmm.
More than anything. She caught a bat not very long ago.
I know. That's,
that was weird.
That's
I don't know,
tough.
How do you catch a bat?
I don't think that'd be quick.
This cat is fast.
Yes. Anyways. Knives out.
Knives out, which is not what we're talking about in your personal growth series that we're still completing.
Right.
No knives out.
No knives out.
So we're talking about...
We're to the E.
We are to the E, which is a newer addition to your Marvel.
It is.
But I really like this one.
Yeah. It's essential.
It is.
Yeah. That's not what the E stands for.
I was saying you're tricking them right now. Yeah. It stands for engagement.
Yes.
Which...
So for those of you that are just catching on mm-hmm. here, we're working through what I've called the Marvel model. And we've gone through mission, authenticity, responsibility, vulnerability, and now we're on the E, which is engagement.
Mm-hmm.
Engagement
yeah.
is a vital part of becoming a... whole healthy person.
Yeah. Which I was laughing just because Allison, who writes all this stuff for us, is the Wonder Woman behind the show that you don't know her face, mm-hmm. but she's amazing, or her voice. But engagement is what we're talking about a lot in my book as well.
Ah.
So I was reading this going, okay, yeah, I'm tracking with the necessity in your Marvel lineup for engagement and how valuable it is. And just obviously we know the word engagement in the more traditional sense of being engaged. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know it was a French word, but, you know, a promise, an oath, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But to take it out of that context, you know, a promise to get married, but into other relationships. You know, obviously I'm thinking about parenting relationships or your marriage, but friendship is in different ways that we engage with people, and what we bring to that is still the same thing.
When I think of engagement, I think of, you know, all these proposals, mm-hmm. you know, that you see all over social media or whatever. And I've yet to see one where, I mean, I've seen a couple where she said no, but I have yet to see where she said yes, where she does not just go
wild
out of control, right? She's so excited that someone is proposing to commit their life, sacrifice, love, mm-hmm. resources to her.
She was
built for that, right? She's just built.
Some of them are just literally falling over.
Yeah. And I think it's so sad when people say, oh no, you can have a relationship with me with no engagement.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be no engagement necessary. I'll just feel used until you're done. And I'll do the same. I'll use you until I'm done. Mm-hmm. Like, that is so dysfunctional.
Yeah.
And so not how it was designed to be.
Totally. It's truly an expression of your covenant, you know, which is that I'm going to sacrifice myself for you. I'm going to give myself to you. I'm going to lay my life down to serve you. And this place of servanthood, it feels like it's inside of engagement.
And the response is a hint of the design, you know, like that. It's never like, okay, cool, you know. Oh, all right. If you want to, it's like, what, you know? And the urge, you know, the urge to get to that spot is building. I just heard a story the other day about a couple, and the guy, you know, he sets up this whole world, and she's thinking, oh, this is the day. This is happening. All the friends think, this is it. This is
going.
And they come through the other side, and he didn't do it.
Oh, no.
And the whole world's mad at him. Everybody that knows this guy is just torqued, especially her.
I bet.
You know, and you're like, yeah, that's the design. You have countered the design mm-hmm. of this whole thing by failing to show up with engagement.
So engagement is a crucial element that we need to bring to the relationships that we have.
And to be prepared to exercise as a person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, if I'm going to grow into a whole healthy person, I have to be willing to throw my life of sacrifice at something or someone or all the above. It's mm-hmm. usually all the above.
Yeah. That is the... true design is being willing to do that. So if we were to break down, I guess, how do you identify if you're bringing engagement well to your relationships? What are some things you've named off some, like, be prepared to commit to that level of engagement. What are they trying to say? Okay, these are things I'm doing.
You should feel the strength of someone's life added to yours. You know, there should be a benefit that's pouring towards you.
Mm-hmm.
If you make a request that requires that this person adjust,
mm-hmm.
change their plans, change their attitude, mm-hmm. change the way they're talking,
mm-hmm.
Show up.
Yeah,
you know, those types of things are reasonable requests in a an engaged relationship from an engaged person.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about raising children, and this is kind of the deal, is when you hear somebody say, I'm not going to have any children, I'm not going to. Well, then you just capped your maturity level as a human, really, in relationship, because you've decided, I will stop right here at my willingness to sacrifice.
That's a little bit of an ouchie.
Yeah. You know, I'm just saying that for you to keep moving into maturity, it's going to require that you enter levels of sacrifice you knew not of. You did not know they existed. To pretend like you can manage your life, you know, you can control how much you grow by what you will and will not enter, is, it's kind of, there's a mystery to growing up that you did not plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say most people that get married had no idea what was coming.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'd say probably 100% of people who have children had no idea what was coming.
And every child that you have after that is different too. So your expectation of being able, I mean, I know we had Delaney, and I thought that, okay, we're going to somewhat reproduce that again in the next one. Then we had Adeline, who was absolutely completely different from day one. And she still is. You know, they're both girls. I'll give them that. We are aligning in that. And even that, they're different. I mean, their body structures are completely different. They like similar things now.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't always. But then you have Lincoln. I mean, I'm one of the biggest things I'm noticing with my engagement level, even with Lincoln being the only boy I have, is he's in this, it is a different development spot than what I watch the girls go through at his age. It's just, there's different pushback.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels different. And so what I'm watching myself do, because I want to be an engaged parent, I want to do a good job of continuing to develop connection and influence and relationship with him, is I feel like I'm on this search of, what is it that he needs from me? Because he doesn't know exactly how to tell me, and I've got to help show him so that our relationship doesn't stay, stunted back here, because I stop trying to develop with him as he's trying to figure it out. Like that's how I feel so much of engagement works, is you have to be willing to continue to grow in an uncomfortable way so you maintain a level of intimacy and connection.
Yeah. The maturity part on this whole thing is rooted in sacrifice.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I've pledged my life and my future to the connectedness of this relationship. Now, obviously, there's relationships that should end, and they should, we should just...
Yes, be done.
This is abusive, this is dangerous. Mm-hmm. Okay, so with those aside, relationships are hard.
Mm-hmm.
Relationships, and the hard part is that you don't control the other side of it. You
so hard.
Don't, this isn't a video game. You don't get to
restart.
Yeah, you don't get 10 lives here. You got one, and you wear the marks that relationships leave on you, mm-hmm. as you mature. So, you get to this side, you get in your 60s, you're like, okay. There's so little left of what I intended to do, and there's so much of what I've become that I had absolutely no idea I was building.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, I think, maturity is what is constructed in you and around you because of what you were willing to get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
And adopt, because it served the relationship and the other person.
Mm-hmm.
Because hanging on to it and demanding that everybody change because you refuse to adjust,
mm-hmm.
is immature. That's toddlers.
Yeah.
Toddlers are flipping out because they don't want to have to adjust.
Yeah.
And the parenting aspect of it is shaping the child to, you know, put away childish things and mature into Christ-likeness, who is the greatest example. I mean, Jesus is the greatest example that literally leaves his God status behind, puts on flesh, comes to the earth. I don't know what it was like to raise Jesus.
I wish Mary would have made a parenting book or had something in there like, why don't we, there's Esther, there's Ruth, Mary. We need a Mary chapter.
Can you just imagine saying, no, Jesus, no.
Jesus, that's no fun.
Put that down. No, don't put that in your mouth.
I think it would help a lot of women out there to know that she had to do that and she came out on the other side and still loved her child and he loved her.
At some point, Jesus is pooping his own pants.
Yes.
You know, like, look at that.
Why, Lord, did that not get recorded?
Well, it all makes sense, but we don't ever talk about it. I never one sermon about that.
I know. This is the frustration I have as a woman. We need that message.
And yet, he turns into the perfect, mature man. Mm-hmm. And it's literally because he came to serve. Mm-hmm. He came to offer his life as a ransom for many. That is... That's maturity right there. And it's at the crux of it right there is we've captured engagement. Like Jesus engaged with the human race. It wasn't just with the disciples or just with his family. Yeah. It was for mankind.
Mm-hmm. I was listening to Mom Loves Ed Milet, and we were, I was listening
to a little shout out to another podcast.
And totally. He's got a great show. And it was just him on the show, which he doesn't do very often. He usually always has a guest, but it was just him. I think it was a show back in April or something like that. But I was listening to it, and he talks about four different levels. I can't remember the third level, but the first one is, you know, you kind of go through life oblivious, not really directing it at anything. And the next level is that you are become a person of influence. You know, you are doing things on purpose, or it's just motivation. You're a motivated person. So you're motivated to do something because of a reward of some kind. And then you become a person of influence. And then you become, there was another level, so there's five, sorry. That is basically a person that other people see you and go, I want to be like you, aspire to, someone aspires to be you. Mm-hmm. And then the last level is a servant leader. He said that's the highest calling that a person can achieve that not everybody does. Because a servant leader's life is laid down for the benefit of others. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, he talks often about being a Christian and we have the same God and all this stuff, but that's what Jesus did, is he demonstrated that's what I'm calling you to do, is to be a servant leader, to lay your life down to, and then I was reading in Philippians, really just that we're meant to serve another. We're meant to lean in, and like that's what God's asking us to do, is not to edify yourself, not to be better than anyone else, but it's really that you love each other and come along aside each other. Sorry, I'll say that again. Come along each to, wow, that's hard to say. Come along next to each other and serve one another in a like-minded way.
It's because your body's just manifesting from all the sacrifice it's required to do what you just pointed out.
It's always coming. Yes. But I was laughing because we're doing this show today, and like all these different things are saying the same thing over and over again. There's maturity that's required, which means you have to go find self-awareness, but not for the benefit of self as much as it is the benefit of others.
And people think that, you know, like personal growth is like going to the gym.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to go to the gym and sculpt my fantasticness so that I can wear, you know, skimpy clothes around so everybody could adore me.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's not at all what personal growth is about. You know, it gives me this advantage and that advantage, and I could have this opportunity and that opportunity. And like, no, that's, you're missing the whole point because the whole point, I'm not against going to the gym. I don't go to the gym. I like to work around the house and do stuff, but I don't like to go to the gym. But gyms are packed with people doing stuff. And if you don't have the long game in mind, then essentially you're just kind of practicing your
coasting,
adoring yourself, yeah. You know? And I read this thing this morning. It says, this man says, my daughter will never live by herself. She'll never get married. She'll never get out of a wheelchair. She'll never be fully potty trained. She'll never walk up a flight of steps in our house, our stairs. So do I drink myself unconscious every night? No. I go to the gym and work out so that I can carry her to the top of the stairs for the mm-hmm. rest of her life.
Yeah.
And like, okay, there it is right there. That's engagement right there.
Totally.
Is this guy is got a plan to serve with his life mm-hmm. someone who will benefit from him going to the gym every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of like that Iron Man long mm-hmm. time ago where he, this father, who I mean, he was like in his 70s, 60s. I don't know how old he was.
Yeah,
he's older man. But he is this
Hoyt,
Hoyts. Oh gosh, if you want to cry, go ahead and watch that YouTube over and over again.
HOYT.
And it's just that. It's exact his he takes his son through the Iron Man, but he is doing the work of two people the mm-hmm. entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they finish it and it's just this accomplishment that both the father and the son got to have because of the work of the father.
Yeah, it's quite a story. I mean, in many ways, it's quite a story, but there is a list of accomplishments that those two did together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which I think is this beautiful part of he wanted his son to have this life of adventure and opportunities,
mm-hmm.
which required that he be at a certain level of fitness to be able to carry
mm-hmm.
his son to do all those things.
Yeah.
So
pretty crazy stuff.
The levels of engagement and what it requires. And really, I think it's safe to say in all the stories that we're talking about is when we live a lifestyle of engagement, it actually is so rewarding and fulfilling.
It is, but it's scary. And I think the aversion to sacrifice,
mm-hmm.
It's natural. Like, okay, do I really want to do this? I mean,
really? If you knew what was going to happen with kids, you probably wouldn't sign up for it.
most of involvement of other human beings, if you knew it was involved, you're just like, I'm good.
You know,
I'm good at that. But the willingness to live an engaged life
mm-hmm.
is such a huge part of your personal growth and development and maturity, really. And I think that's the key. You cap your maturity when you stop being willing to sacrifice to benefit other people.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of that awareness of knowing how to sacrifice. Some people don't even know where to start. Like they don't know how to grow. They don't know what they need. I think honestly, one of the things that we've got going on in Loving on Purpose right now is the Kylo community.
Mm-hmm.
And in this Kylo community is a place where people are coming because they want to live a life of engagement. They want to get to that highest level of, you know, your life where you're a servant leader, you're living like Christ led, but where are my blind spots? Where mm-hmm. do I need to lean in? What do I need to grow in?
And that's the key is surround yourself with people that are going in the same direction. Because
mm-hmm.
if you don't, you're always going to feel like something's wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my gosh, you know, all these people are calling me crazy. Okay. Yeah. Well, they have different goals.
Yeah.
But if your goal really is to mature in love, the Kylo community is an awesome place mm-hmm. to do that.
I heard once that the five people that you surround yourself with or give the most influence to are often a reflection of what your life looks like.
It's what you're going to look like.
Yeah.
Yeah. The five people you spend the most time with,
mm-hmm.
you're going to look like.
And another fun thing that I've heard just rumblings about from our team talking about is just different relationships that are forming. They don't live in the same state. It's all happening online, but they're creating really the beginnings of what looks like covenant relationships from people that they're finding here going, okay, you've got something that I I want in my life.
How'd you do that?
Yeah. And so they're finding each other on this community. It's really becoming a community. And so we're talking about this thing, but the Kylo community is really an opportunity that everybody has. The fun part is if you are willing to give a $25 monthly donation, you get access to it.
Yeah.
And what comes with it is the Life Academy courses, monthly call Zoom calls that we all do, a bunch of engagement from our staff, really kind of the first spot where we talk about anything that's going to be happening.
We have a monthly event that has me teaching something, you teaching something.
Also, it is like our little, it's our secret club that we're telling you about.
It is, it's true. Don't tell anybody.
But tell everybody. But it is this, it's this pocket of people that are, they're looking to live a life like Christ and learn where do they need to learn? What do they need to learn? How do they need to learn? This is where they're finding it. So It's a really great resource.
And we're covering all the topics. You know, we're talking just relationships, marriages, parenting. Mm-hmm.
Personal development. I mean.
Holidays. Yeah, you know, we're talking everything.
Go ahead and go to lovingonpurpose.com and to the give button. Make sure you do $25 recurring giving, and that should give you access to the Kylo community through however they do it over there, through emails or whatever. They'll find you.
You click the box and it'll...
Yeah, something like that. We don't get paid for that part, but it's awesome. If you get stuck, just let us know. Find us. We want you part of the community. All right, we're going to jump into questions, and we'll see you in a minute. All right. Well, today's question comes to us from Liz.
Hey, Danny and Brittany. This is Liz, and I have a question regarding family dynamics. In a family of four adult children with some very strong personalities and different values for communication and honoring and how to navigate tough conversations and so forth. I'm just wondering if you guys have any, or what input you have on, navigating that family dynamic, being respectful, coming with that culture of honor and keeping my love on as I'm navigating difficult conversations and volatile topics. My MO is to run, but I don't want to run anymore. I want to show up. And I'd just love to hear your thoughts, your input on that. Thanks so much.
There we go.
Yeah. Always fun when the holidays hit. We're all together.
We don't live together for a reason. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, my first thought is, you know, someone that might shy away from leading that discussion or bringing up topics is you don't have to participate in them unless you want to. You know, I think you get to be that powerful is whether I participate in it or not. And, you know, I've had my fair share of conversations that are not ones that I really want to be in. And I've said, I love you, but I don't want to talk about this anymore. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we're going to agree. And this is just going to make things hard. And then I stopped talking about it. Mm-hmm. Because for me, in that place is I much rather do a good job of saying, I'm going to protect our connection. I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to not do this. Because what happens, I don't have Liz's personality. I have the fight mode a little bit more, is I get myself in trouble. Mm-hmm. But I think that either a more aggressive or a more passive communication style can still do that same gesture of, I love you. I don't want to talk about this topic because it makes me uncomfortable, or I'm afraid of where it's going to go, or it might damage our connection. If you want to talk about something else, I'd love to, but mm-hmm. I'm not going to talk about this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go away if we keep talking about this.
Yeah. And I think you don't even have to be that overt with what the internal dialogue which is, I don't want to fight with you. I don't want to fight with anybody ever. So I think you can go in armed with a bunch of questions to keep the conversation going, to let that person talk and listen for something that you do agree with, because they will say something that you agree with. And you jump on that. You go, absolutely, I agree with that. I think that's a great point, or I think that's very valid. Because if you come in as the contrarian with, I am here to get you to change your life's philosophy, it's just going to be a disaster. And that's what you're talking about. Like, I don't want to get into, I'm not changing and you're not changing. So let's see if we can get each other to change.
Let's have a tug of war.
It's just a bad plan.
Yeah.
And I do think a lot of folks have been just wearied from those conversations to the point to where we're just afraid to have any conversation. Like, I don't think that's smart either. Mm-hmm. So there has to be a place where I'm sorting for in your thought processes where I can grab on and say, that right there, that I think you're right. I like that. Yeah. I'm with you there. And, you know, kind of like spot welding a little bit, like, okay, well, let's connect there. Let's connect over here. And let's walk away, you know, nodding our head instead of, you know, doubling our fists.
Mm-hmm. I think you're bringing questions. I've been in conversations where somebody, myself, Ben or mom or you or whoever is in that, when it starts to get to that place where, oh, this is going to take a turn really quickly, and somebody puts a different question on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of the bringing different questions is being prepared to how do we have places where we can agree. And I know for our family, we don't all agree on everything. But one thing that we do agree on really well is my kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk a lot about my kids because that's something that everybody is – we can talk about in a shared space of agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And there's many other ones, but that's just one that comes to mind. So I think for Liz, if you can find one of those places, like a camp out around there, how can you bring up different places that you all agree on or,
yeah, other places like corporate greed and you know, political corruption. And, you know,
all sorts of fun. Yeah. Let's not. But you can do this, Liz. We believe in you. Come with questions and just remember you are a powerful person, so you don't have to engage. You can bring a different set of tools to the table. So, awesome. All right. Well, we're going to go into our testimony now. Well, today's testimony comes to us from Amy.
Hi, Danny and Brittany. My name is Amy. I don't know if you guys remember me or not, but months back, I had called in with a question on how to handle it when your adult children label you with words like narcissism and call you a narcissist, those type of things when you're actually not. And then I had also shared a testimony also at another time I called in regarding using the Kylo principles that my husband and I had been using those in other areas of our life and that we were seeing results and that we were really excited for when we would be able to call in and share part two with our adult children. Well, today it's part two. I'm really excited to share part two. But I don't know, again, if you guys remember, but one of the things we were struggling with is that our children just would not forgive us for past mistakes. And in that process of not forgiving us for past mistakes, they weren't really able to look at themselves either and see the dynamics on how they were treating us. As we were trying to change, that we weren't getting much change from them. And really,
it was just a really bad situation. Well, I am excited to say that there has been complete restoration with two of our children. One of our children, so much restoration that she invited us to come visit. It was on Good Friday, she called. It was amazing. She invited us to come visit. We went to visit. And then later, she invited us to her wedding, which was another total God thing. So we have been able to see our grandchildren. She has three children. And so we were able to see our grandchildren and restore our relationship with our daughter. Things are going wonderful. We are just continuing to use those Kylo principles. And then we have another son, adult son, really hard situation with him. That was completely restored. We are just, in contact with him consistently. We haven't actually been able to see him face to face yet, but a lot of conversation. It's been wonderful. Then we have two other children who conversations have increased. And so not completely there yet, but praise God, we are seeing some major acceleration in our family dynamic changing. And when I had called in before, I had shared that I was a bit discouraged because we had been using these principles and using them and letting God change us. I mean, really change our hearts and really reaching out to our kids and nothing. It just felt some days discouraging as far as those relationships went, but yet we were seeing all this fruit in other areas of our life using the same principles. So anyway, now I feel like that all of a sudden there has been this open door to where everything is accelerating and these things that we have been praying into and trusting God for, allowing him to change us, they're just accelerating at a quick pace. And so it's been really exciting. And again, we're only over halfway there. Sorry, my words are kind of bunched together today because I'm really excited. Could probably tell, but we actually, another long story, obviously, that I won't share, but we relocated to Montana, got plugged into a church, and this church is also very familiar with the Kylo family principles. They actually have read your book and listened to the podcast and all those great things too. So anyways, we're excited. Now that we have a big enough house to do it, we are going to start leading some classes using the Life Academy. We belong to you guys' online Life Academy. So we're really excited to bring to this little community here, be able to do some classes and have people over and just be real with one another using, you know, you guys' amazing principles and things. Because obviously the thing that my husband and I I've been thinking a lot about is it all comes down to that you guys are helping people learn how to build godly families. And as we know, that brings so much change within the family and within the world in general. So we are excited to continue moving on, and we are trusting God that the rest of our kids are going to eventually come around. And it's just amazing, amazing at what has been restored. There's this ongoing joke now between my husband and I where something will happen, but we'll just hear your voice from the podcast saying, okay, this is how you handle that situation. So when those couple things have come up during the restoration process, we've literally just in our spirit, we get the check and we hear the voice. Okay, this is how you handle that. And then we do, and it just releases this freedom into the room where we're not condemned and we're not being judged, but also we're not coming across as condemning or judgmental to our children either. So it's just been really great. But the ongoing joke is I'll say to my husband, remember what Danny said, or he'll say to me, that doesn't sound like what Danny would do. So it's kind of funny, Danny. I just wanted to share that with you. It's kind of funny. So anyways, thank you guys again, and look forward to calling in to a part three. Have a great day.
That's super fun. Well, Amy, good job.
Yeah. Wow.
Super.
You know, what a great illustration of engagement.
Yeah.
I mean, there's very few things that hurt as much as parental suffering. I gotta tell you, nothing will disrupt your life as an adult as much as something jacked up with your adult children.
I don't have adult children yet, and I think that's probably very accurate looking at what I feel like I can manage and control and withhold and boundaries in having younger kids. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, the switch will, okay, well, until you work on this, I'm going to hold the switch. Until you, because you're in this training phase. Well, as adults, they're out of the training phase. It's up to them.
And they have a spouse, yeah, quite possibly. You know, there's grandchildren who can be held hostage. Imagine. You know, it's just, it goes on and on and on. I've talked to some pretty tore up folks, and I'm telling you, it's tragic. So, Amy, congratulations.
Staying engaged. I don't know your husband's name, but good job, husband.
Good job, Amy's husband. And, staying engaged, because this is it. These folks have drilled down to bedrock right here.
Yeah, I was listening to this. I can't remember his name. He's a doctor or scientist of some kind, but he literally said the power of gratitude, being able to be grateful for something that has yet to happen. And Amy ended her testimony with, I can't wait to call back in with part three.
Yeah.
She's already prophesying part three is coming, and mm-hmm. and she, which her whole story, when she first called in and had a question, then she called in with the testimony, and then she's calling again with the testimony, is, you know, being able to be grateful for knowing what God's in charge of and can do. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a powerful place. And another level of engagement is, I'm going to be engaged with the process that God is who he says he is, and he's going to do what he says he is going to do.
And back to maturing, mm-hmm. you know, the maturing process. Mature love casts out fear.
Yeah.
You know, 1 John 4:18 tells us that having to trust God for maybe the most vulnerable place in your life is how you cast out fear. This is the depth of maturity that comes to your character, is being willing to adjust for the good, mm-hmm. not for self-preservation, not, you know, to stay in an abusive relationship, not to avoid a conflict, not to, you know, get your promotion or whatever. Don't sell your soul, mm-hmm. but mature your soul by trusting God.
Yeah. You know, the reason why we have testimony spots is we believe the power of the testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's really a great opportunity, because you're right, there's a lot of pain with whether I meet with them or you meet with them, of parents who have a distant relationship with their adult child.
Mm-hmm.
And how much it just disrupts the legacy of a family.
Mm-hmm.
But Amy put on the table today, I don't know if you were catching this, is that invitation to take this testimony for you.
Yeah, the testimony is the spirit mm-hmm. of prophecy.
Yeah.
And so we just release that.
Absolutely.
Out over the airwaves, I mean, to every family in need.
There's 15,000 people a week that are listening to this podcast. So you listening to this podcast and this testimony being on the table, it is not a coincidence. Mm-hmm. It's not karma. It is the Lord saying, here you go.
Grab it.
Will you take it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, if you want it, it sounds like it's available to you.
Mm-hmm.
And we love, she pretty much set our tagline, which is that we're chasing after whole and healthy families, which are in alignment with the Father and that are in alignment with healthy people that produced healthy families.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for joining us on The Kylo Show, and thank you for helping us chase after whole and healthy families. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of The Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, sound engineer and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families are gonna save the world.
At Best Western, we can't promise you the perfect family beach vacation. We can't promise that it won't rain or that you won't get a sunburn, or that your family won't endearingly call you Lobster Mom for weeks afterward. What we can promise is a warm welcome and a comfortable room amidst all the joyful chaos. Lobster Mom. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western, with over 4,200 hotels worldwide.